the home team.
And here we go.
All right, we are back for more. The home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris Brame, Jeff Dantzler. It is Wednesday. Dogs will play Missouri Saturday. The Falcons host the Saints on Sunday. The Braves and Phillies begin a four-game series tomorrow night as Atlanta has 10 games to go. Seven of those games will be played against the Phillies. At this moment, the Braves have a six-game lead in the division. The Phillies play the Mets. I believe that game actually starts at 6 o'clock tonight. So
keep an eye on that one.
And Atlanta's already lowered the magic number down by winning today, 2-6. And if the Phillies can lose, then it'll be 5. But, the Phillies, I guess, still are alive because they've got 7 cracks at Atlanta here over the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's the thing there. So the Phillies, what they're hoping for at this point is just put themselves in a position that if they get a sweep that first go around, then they've at least got a chance going into the last week. For Atlanta, it's always a good sign when you can sense that when you get down to that 150-game mark, which everybody's either at or one or two by, when you got 10, 11, 12 to go, when you're talking more about your magic number than your games ahead, that's a good sign for you.
Yeah. Like, even seeing the last two nights where the Braves have gotten blown out 2 games in a row by the Cardinals, and they salvaged a game today. But I was thinking, even watching some of the game this afternoon, that, I mean, truthfully, Atlanta, I guess, is sort of bidding maybe for home field in that first round of the playoff series of the Dodgers, but ultimately the 3 games against the Cardinals really didn't matter. It's just you got 7 games to play against the Phillies, and if you win those, then it's big deal.
Well, they're even in a spot, too, for Atlanta, as long as you just don't get swept. I mean, even if they went 2-5 against the Phillies, that's only 3 games gained for Philadelphia. So you're basically in a spot. What are the Braves up right now? 6?
It's 6 and pending tonight. So they'll either be 6.5 or 5.5.
So with 11 games to go? So yeah. Basically, even if the Braves went 0-11 the rest of the way, the Phillies would have to go, 7-4? So if the Braves went 2-9 the rest of the way, the Phillies would have to go 9-2 or 9-1, however many they've got left. It's just, it could happen. And the one thing, I mean, stranger things have happened. If the Phillies go out there and swept Atlanta, I guess what that would be this weekend, correct?
Starting tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. If they swept a 4-game series from Atlanta, then it would be very interesting. If Atlanta just goes 2-2, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, if Philly wins tonight, it's a 5-game lead or 5.5.
Yes.
Okay, so they play 4 this weekend. If they go 2-2, it's still 5.5 going into the last week. You're gold.
Well, even if the Phillies win tonight, the magic number is 6, and if they go 2-2, that magic number is reduced to 2.
Correct.
And then, which means the Braves just need 2 more wins, or they need 1 more win and a Phillies loss.
And then, if you want to switch it and really start thinking positive, the Braves could clinch it this weekend.
They could clinch it by Saturday if they win the first 3.
Yeah, so they're if even if the Phillies win tonight, it's 5.5.
And the magic number 6.
Okay, so if Atlanta wins the first 3, shoop.
Yep, you clinched.
And the other big thing there, I get it. Yeah, you still want to keep playing good, but the key then, you want to get that pitching set up for the postseason. You know, if that means skipping a guy to get those arms fresh, I'm all for it.
Unfortunately, Saturday, I think they play at 1 o'clock. So.
Yeah, won't be paying attention to that one.
I'll find out on Monday who wins that game. Maybe I'll find out the next day, but then Sunday I'll be busy with my, my fantasy football lineup and all that other nonsense.
That is funny, though. When we come in on Monday or I know last weekend, we usually like to go down and watch the 4 o'clock games at marker 7, kind of get relaxed and got all my football work done for the weekend. And the Braves were on, I guess, last Sunday. Was that the Diamondbacks? Is that right? This past weekend? Was that 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago,
okay,
yeah.
But anyway, so the games, I'm like, oh, yeah, how'd they do this week? Oh, hey, they took 3 out of 4. That's great. So either Sunday or Monday before our show, what I do now, I just pull up the standings and I look and see, the Braves hey, they've won two in a row or just lost one in a row. And when you've got the lead, just avoid those long losing streaks. You're good. But I think we're all in the same boat here. You know, it's college football, and then you're going to pay attention to your pro team or your fantasy team. But, hey, during the week, hey, you want to check out what's going on? It's one of the best times of year in sports. I mean, we just moved past – I mean, really, that first week of September – when you've got football starting, you got the U.S. Open. And what makes the U.S. Open so great is they intentionally put their prime matches at night. And then you've got baseball going into the home stretch of the pennant races. It's awesome.
And that tour championship starts, too.
It does. Starts tomorrow.
Got home last night and was watching. I guess the Braves game last night was actually on ESPN, and they were scrolling at the bottom. The new rules where the leader going into the tour championship will start at 10 under par.
Yeah, more. We'll get cuts in here maybe on the open date and just be like, all right, what's the deal with this?
Yeah.
Our friend Adam just tweets in. He had a good one. Said, that's why I get the Braves Twitter updates. I get the score literally without any work.
Okay. Yeah, I've been paying attention to the Braves on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And, you know, because they've pretty much have had the division salted away for the last couple of weeks. I mean, let's be real.
Got one for you here, Bramer. You ready?
Yep.
From our friend Jazzy Squatch, who always sends in a great Seinfeld. Is it GIFs or memes? Like, he'll send me good pictures of Kramer and everything, just the little three-second deals.
Oh, so those are GIFs.
GIFs, okay, yeah. I like those. All right, Bramer. Had a good weekend, followed by failure on Monday night. Need to get the funds back up this weekend on Thursday night. I get it. You want to have a nice little bank, but Thursday night NFL, just timeout.
The Clowns and the Jets.
All right, here you go. What's the play on this titanic matchup between the Browns and Jets? I feel like the Browns rattle Darnold, get the win, and the cover. This man needs to get his funds up for the weekend. I understand that.
Well, listen, here's the thing you're doing now. You're on tilt, right? My man is on tilt from a bad weekend and wants.
Now, he said he had a good weekend, but a bad Monday.
A bad Monday, okay.
Which probably means he put a little too much on the Monday nighter, which that can happen because there's only one game. You can't spread it around.
Which means he bet on a team that has Brian Schottenheimer as his offensive coordinator.
Maybe it was the over-under. I don't have the full
because the Bears did cover.
Easily.
But, boy, the Browns have won one game.
I feel like they're the play, though.
The last time the Browns won a game was Christmas Eve 2016.
There was no Christmas tree up for me that year. I'll promise you that.
Why is that, Jeff?
That was a dark time. I knew we were turning the corner, but
it was
you got to walk through the valley before you can get to the mountaintop.
We did get good news though. Chubb and Bichelle were coming back.
Yeah, then Isaiah Wilson committed. It was it was turning, but that's the last time they won.
But back to the Clowns. Last win, Christmas Eve 2016. They are favored by a field goal Thursday night, and I've got to tell you, if it was my money, I'd probably bet on the Browns Thursday, which is tomorrow, actually.
I got a feeling.
I think Cleveland might be – the play is to not play it, though.
Thursday games are so bad.
You don't have to play every game.
You don't?
You don't.
The folks in Vegas tell you you do.
You don't.
Now, the one thing I would say, too, these Thursday games are awful. It is still early in the season, and I'm sure Vegas corrects for this. I do think there is an advantage to being the home team, though, just because of that quick turnaround, not having the travel.
Well, I think another factor here, too, is you've got a rookie quarterback on a short week. He doesn't know what he's doing there.
And Mayfield is not starting.
Right. I mean, they've got – Tyrod Taylor's done it before. He's been through it. But you're dealing with a rookie quarterback that's got to figure out a short week.
I think the
Clowns are the play, but
– a team that is 132-1 in their last 34, Chris Brame saying, yeah, that's his shoe-in of the week.
Yeah. I might end up talking myself into that by tomorrow. So.
I love it.
All right, 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, Georgia will head to Missouri on Saturday afternoon, morning out there in Como.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to know about this game, Jeff?
Missouri, they got a great passing attack. There's some familiarity with Derek Dooley and Kirby Smart, no question. the offensive coordinator for the Mizzou Tigers.
Yep.
Drew Locke has been very good against Georgia the last 2 years. That being said, Georgia's offense has had a lot of success the last 2 years against Missouri, too, last season in particular. I think this is a game where Georgia's offense is going to have to take the reins of this. You got to continue to go in. We're still getting used to this, but, again, have faith in Kirby's canines here, that the special teams has gone from a constant source of angst to something that's a weapon for Georgia. So I think we feel good there. So those Midwest winds kind of worry you a little bit, and that stadium's got a wide open end there. But
and they're doing some sort of construction out there, which I think has made it even more open.
Yes, there are some construction.
Like there's big cranes and everything.
Yeah, in fact, we were out there for baseball. Yes, there were a lot of big cranes out there. So
I think they're still there.
So there's, you know, again, which just gives it, it's a different look and feel when you get there than when you play in the SEC. And they are in the SEC, but at other spots in the SEC, it's a different look and it's a different feel. I think this game is on Georgia's offense to put up some big numbers, as Missouri's going to move the football. I mean, Locke's just too good. Emmanuel Hall and the tight end, who is awesome. I just call him, Albert O, I'll just call him.
Yeah, well, he had a touchdown catch here last year.
He's very good. That guy's going to be a heck of a pro. They're going to move the football. They've got a very good offensive line as well. But in the end, I think Georgia can simply come up with more stops. To me, this is a game about Georgia cashing in. You know, where the Dogs could get in trouble is, all right, we get down there, it's 3rd and 4, we drop a pass, have to try a kick, something funny happens, you don't score, they hit a big play, a couple of bounces don't go your way, and then it just starts getting that feel. But keep in mind, this is a Georgia team that is built to win games in the fourth quarter. And for much of last regular season, and so far this season, the games have been put away by the fourth quarter.
Right. This is a team that a year ago is one of the best, if not the best, second half, third quarter team in the country. And the one time this year we've needed that.
Yes.
We got it. 21 Delivered. Points in the third quarter at South Carolina.
Delivered.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something else where Kirby's been so great. I just think back to the Tech game last year at the end of the first half, the end of South Carolina. Putting together those drives at the end of the half. Think about how Oklahoma got the ball to start the second half. The field goal at the end of the first half against Tech. The field goal at the end of the first half against Oklahoma. The field goal at the end of the first half against South Carolina. Just putting those drives together, getting the scores. And against South Carolina, following that up with, whoop, Mecole, 34 yards. And then you're on a 10-0. 2-for-none, and you've really got the other guy reeling.
Well, you know, what I like, too, about that is it's, you know, it'd be easy, and coaches, I think, a lot of times might do it, is just be sort of risk-averse in that situation where even at South Carolina, what were there, like 30 or 40 seconds left in the game or the first half there, to just say, you know, we've got the lead anyway. We're getting the ball first to start the second half. Let's not do anything here. We might turn it over. Something bad might happen. But you're not worried about what bad might happen. You're worried about what good might happen. And you just have confidence in your offense. And
well, you know what else it is, Chris? For the second year in a row now, we can say this. And frankly, no knock against anybody, but it had been a while. Great teams. You have to be able to, in exactly positions like you're saying, trust your quarterback and trust your kicker. If you don't trust both of them, it's hard to do things like that.
Hot rod's a weapon.
And Jake Fromm, you're trusting him to put you in the right position to at least give you a chance.
80% completion percentage.
Does it stay over 80 after Saturday?
It could.
I mean, that is sky. That's 12 for 15. 16 for 20.
Well, I mean, he threw a bunch. In fact, last year the Missouri game was probably the game he attempted the most passes, wasn't it?
I think he was it 28 or 32?
Last year? I'm going to find that right now. He was 18 out of 26 last year. And it wasn't – he threw 29 and 32 in the last two games. He threw 28 in that first game at Auburn.
So he had – what did he have, 328?
326, 18 of 26.
18 of 26 for 326. You can do the math on that.
That's 69.2 on the percentage.
That would also be well over 10 yards a pop.
12 and a half to be exact.
Well, I can do the – all right, 26 times 10 is 260. And he's 326. It's over.
Yeah.
Over.
I don't know. Maybe completing 80% would be a lot to ask for, but I don't think it'll drop that much on Saturday. All right, moving on to the 5-5, Jeff. This I brought up last week, and then Georgia played Middle Tennessee State and still did not register a sack. So this week it seems to have become a bit of a hot topic. What is your take on Georgia's pass rush?
I think Georgia's pass rush has done a good job making teams uncomfortable. What Middle Tennessee did last week, they had those quick drops and quick passes, so you really the odds of getting there just weren't very good. That's the way they're designed to go. Against South Carolina, Georgia made Bentley uncomfortable in that second half, but I do think against Locke, it would be good. You're not going to go out there and get five or six. He's too good. He's got a quick release, and the guy's really big and strong. He can be hard to bring down. But I think a couple of sacks, get him just in a couple of spots where it's third and 17, second and 15, that'll be big for Georgia. But I think now the way these offenses are designed, and especially with so many mobile quarterbacks, it's more about keeping that QB contained and just making him uncomfortable. So I just say Locke's release, it's going to be hard to get a ton of sacks. So can I get two sacks and two picks?
Well, that'd be nice. I'm thinking back to a year ago, we didn't sack him at all, and that was part of a two-game stretch with Vandy in Missouri. Uh-huh. We didn't have a sack. And then over that bye week, that kind of became an issue. And then Trenton Thompson came back, and we sacked Florida five times. Boy, it'd be nice to still have Trenton here, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that might contribute to some of our sack woes, as he was pretty good plugging up that middle. But we didn't sack Locke last year.
No.
But that was a game Thompson didn't play.
He's really good. I mean, Locke is really good. He doesn't quite have that Marino quick release, but it's a good release, and he's got a cannon.
He doesn't have Richmond Webb and Keith Sims on the left side of his line
that
either.
That was a good left side.
All right, a couple other guys, too. Andrew Thomas, what are your insiders telling you? Now, he's back at practice, but he does seem to have that ankle taped. Are we going to see him play, or is he still going to be maybe limited?
My gut feeling on this, Chris, if he's not – in the, like, 90% range, my gut is that Cade Mays would get the start there. You don't want to do anything to risk this. As big as this is, and this is a huge game, even if things didn't go right, it's not a season killer. If Andrew Thomas is just 50, 60%, I don't think you'll see him play. I don't know what his percentage is. I would guess, though, my feeling is you're going to see him play. That was kind of the feeling I got after South Carolina. I don't know that. But again, you don't know. And plus, anybody who's ever, whether it was playing tennis or just out exercising, if you sprain your ankle, it hurts. And especially, he's 6'7", carrying 300 pounds around. So
yeah, there's a lot more on that ankle that has to support. But, I mean, some of the reports out of practice in the limited amount of time that practice gets to be viewed is he's been out there, but Mays has still been running as the first teamer.
I think ideal situation, Georgia would like to be able to win this game and rest him again. But – I mean, this is an elite player in the SEC. I'm telling you, you talk about that 2020 draft, or hopefully 2021 draft. I mean, this is a guy who could be a top 10, top 5 pick. He is that prototypical, the size. I hear about, he's got the long arms. He's got
his wingspan.
He's got the feet. He's got the size. He's got the quicks. And he's got the intelligence. The guy's a very smart kid. I mean, to be able to come in and start at tackle as a freshman and then to be able to go over, and he and Galliard kind of captain that line there. He is just get ready. And won't it be nice to have Mel Kiper talking about a Georgia offensive tackle like that?
Yeah, and to see some good highlights.
Yeah.
But that is one where
– what's your gut? Do you think he's playing?
I mean, based on the fact that it sounds like he's been limited and Mays has still been getting first-team reps, that maybe he plays and they put him out there. But I don't know. I mean, if he's not going to start, then why would he play at some other point in the game? So right now, I mean, I would say no, it doesn't look good.
I would bet he travels and Georgia plays him if they need him and if he's okay.
Because that is, if we're talking about, you know, Georgia's offense is going to have to take the lead here in this game. I don't know that's not one area with as talented as Georgia's offense is where I would just cavalierly brush off the fact that
no big deal.
Andrew Thomas isn't playing and a true freshman is at left tackle.
Listen, I love Cade Mays. This guy, the year after Thomas comes out, they'll be saying the same thing about him. But he got beat for the play when Fromm got hit and fumbled in the end zone. Thank goodness Ben Cleveland recovered. And he had a holding penalty. And it was a freshman mistake on the hold. He had he grabbed the jersey. If he wouldn't have grabbed the jersey, Holyfield would have had 20-something yards. It happens. I mean, the kid is an unbelievable talent. He's already a tremendous player, and he's going to be a great, great player. But he made a couple of mistakes. And the problem at that position, one or two of your mistakes can be absolute game changers. But I do think the experience, the way he played against South Carolina, and then after that, he was terrific. And the kid is a great player. I'm not trying to knock Cade Mays, but back to your point, Brame, you can't just say, no big deal. We got this guy who was a freshman All-American last year who either in 2020 or 2021 is going to be a top five pick in the draft. Don't sweat not having him in there.
But like his fourth game and against a D-line that does have a guy like Terry Beckner on it.
He's very good.
Yeah, I mean, I just wouldn't.
I mean, we need him out there.
I wouldn't just brush that off as like, no big deal because, you know, we're loaded on offense. We are loaded on offense, but that's a big spot that a true freshman would then be manning.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather have Thomas, Wilson, and Mays or just two of them? We know the answer to that. So when you got three of them.
Yeah.
You're fully loaded.
You're good, but then here you'd be minus Thomas.
Yeah, so he'll make the trip, and hopefully he'll be able to go because the kid is a great football player.
Jeff, good teams win, great teams cover.
Yeah, boy.
Clemson is 0-3 ATS. Are they good, or are they great, or are they just good? And do they cover against Tech Saturday?
What's the number?
Like 17.
Where's the game?
It's in Atlanta.
That's traditionally been a pretty good game.
There's no way, like, with Tech can block them.
Well, I'm telling you, here's the thing.
And they're not allowed to cheat anymore. They wrote that new rule.
Yeah, we'll see if they – because it's like – I think they're daring the officials. You going to call it on every play? If I were officiating, you know the answer to that?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I will. That's where you worry about those future pro defensive linemen worrying about their knees a little bit.
And with good reason.
And maybe not getting the push. That's why sometimes, you know, a guy like Devontae Wyatt, a guy like who's a plugger when Georgia plays them, that's going to be big. They will move the ball some. This is going to be, to me, this is a game that's on Clemson's offense because they've been good on offense but not great. I would lean to say Clemson 31-17 in this one.
Okay.
Or
that
you
would
know,
not be a cover.
Or his Tech, just, I mean, after that loss to Pitt, do they just – and by the way, Clemson, it won't be quite like when Georgia's over there, but there'll be almost as much orange as gold in that stadium Saturday.
So you're basically predicting Clemson's going to be 0-4 ATS. Mm-hmm. So is Clemson – are they a great team or are they just good this year?
They're a great team that can be had.
Okay. Because good teams win.
Great teams
cover. Bama's 3-0 ATS.
What are the Dogs ATS?
The Dogs are 2-0, and depending on where you got the Austin Peay number, they're either 2-1 or 3-0.
But again, games like that, it's like when it's in the 40s.
Yeah. When we have any, well, last week's game wasn't in the 40s, but.
But a game like South Carolina, like that was a tremendous cover.
Yeah.
Like what Bama did to Ole Miss,
that was pretty good. Yeah, that wasn't bad. I told you that Ole Miss was going to hurt him in that passing game.
No question.
One play, 75 yards.
That was not one play in call it a day.
It was not.
It's the other way.
I think three plays later, the game was tied.
Uh-oh.
All right, that's today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system.